Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to be tested. There's going to be adversity. How you persevere says a lot about what you're going to be as a team.
The Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. Here on December the 1st, Brian Sexton joined by the head coach. And this portion of the Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember, stop by the new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center this holiday season. December 1st, Jaguars 6-5. Right in the thick of the playoff chase. Meaningful games forthcoming, including a big one on Sunday in the division at home against the Houston Texans. Folks, be there. Should be a nice day. Tickets are available, Jaguars.com and 633-2000. Welcome in the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. Getting set to, I shouldn't say get set. You've been going at it since yesterday. How much sleep did you get after the charter arrived back here? 2-3 hours? 4?
I got a little sleep.
How long did it take for you to get that energy level back? That's a long flight back.
Yeah,
middle of the night, get up, go. Your schedule didn't change.
We're a little bit of a rhythm this time of year. You know, you get back and get back into the work. I think that's you're always happy to get back into the work especially when you have it not go the way you want.
Sure. You know, last night we had Pod Roast on our television show on Jaguars All Access over on CBS 47.
Sure.
Jeff Loggeman, of course, highlighted him on the smart board that you did that segment with him. First thing that stands out, that kid played well. I mean, Frank Gore did nothing that day, and he was a huge part of it. Second, old Pod Roast has a future. I mean, not just on the field.
In TV?
Yeah, he was sensational. Good. Who would think a rookie defensive tackle with a nickname Pod Roast would be so good? He was fantastic last night. And just, I wanted to start with that because he was tremendous, but also because when you look at the tape and everyone wants to talk about what went wrong, and here 2 days later, obviously that's been discussed, that kid played really well in your run defense, which a month ago was being savaged after a poor showing in Tennessee, has climbed to 10th in the National Football League.
Yeah. No, it's and really, he has been terrific all year. And when we haven't tackled well in the back end, we've had a couple runs get out on us. But really, we've been solid all year. I mean, we're because of Pot Roast, Terrence Knight. What a great nickname! But
people in Winn-Dixie need to jump all over that
because of Pot Roast, because of Big Hen, because of Derek Harvey. We have a very rugged front, and so I think you know, we were wanted to solve that this year, wanted to solidify that front, and I think in terms of finding that defensive tackle that can really get it done for us, he's been that guy.
You've shifted, everyone talks about, back to the 4-3 from the 3-4, but the last couple of weeks it's been almost 50-50. 4-3, 3-4. I mean, it's just funny. The story was that you went back to a bit of a 4-3, but really you're doing the same thing you've always done.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. Bob Rose, by the way, last night said he liked playing one-on-one. He liked playing man-to-man. He loved that 3-4.
Yeah, I think, you know, he allows us, okay, because he is a prototypical 3-4 nose, he allows us to do both. And, you know, if we had overwhelming personnel one way or the other, believe me, we'd play to it. We have really sought to manufacture pass rush because, you know, the going back and forth between fronts is not to stop the run. We feel good about however we deploy our guys being able to stop the run. It's really been about generating pass rush.
Right.
And that's what we've been after the entire time. I think it's been maybe misunderstood. I've tried to explain it. People either don't want to listen to it or refuse to listen to what I'm saying, but it's really never been about stopping the run. It's been about generating pass rush.
You know, and I noticed this today in starting my analysis of the Texans. They have Mario Williams, who's been to a couple Pro Bowls, had 15 sack seasons. And the Texans, with Mario Williams, what was he, the number one overall pick in the draft, and clearly a tremendous physical specimen, they only have 15 sacks.
Right.
So sometimes you lack that explosive pass rusher. Sometimes you have them, and the sacks don't come, right? Is there a
right. I'm not going to try and explain it away.
Well, no.
We're at the bottom right now in the league in sacks. We're going to need to do that better. But, yes, there are examples. I think last year Indy was not very good in terms of generating sacks. But believe me, when you play Indy, you know you're under duress.
There's Dwight Freeney there.
I think what we want to make sure is it's not so much the number, although I do believe that in the end the numbers come if you're doing enough of it. It's just a matter of, you know, needing that very much to disrupt quarterback's play.
Well, here's where I was going with it. Podro said last night on All Access that Derek Harvey was around the quarterback. And so sometimes the numbers don't show.
Not only around, in the second play of the game, Derek Harvey had a sack, forced fumble, that was improperly called. It was ruled an incomplete pass, and I didn't get a review. We did not throw the challenge flag because it wasn't.
You didn't.
It wasn't worth 4 yards, 5 yards, whatever it was. We didn't recover the ball. If we had recovered the ball,
yeah, you would have challenged.
I may have hit the referee in the head with the flag. Okay, but as it was, I was sitting back, saying, "Okay, this is the second play of the game. I think it was. I'm not certain. I'm not getting a replay, and so it just wasn't. There wasn't enough to gain to risk that there. So that's why I did not.
And to wrap up this segment before we take our break, I thought. In your locker room piece that we aired last night on All Access, you said it as simply as possible, and I think it's the best case example for execution because you moved the ball up and down the field.
Right.
It just came to a couple of key plays. And if there was ever a case study in executing, that would be it.
Well, executing in critical areas.
Right.
I think that's really where, you know, we moved the ball well. David threw for 300 yards. We ran better than they ran. All those types of things. But in the end, they were more successful on third down. We were 0 for 4 in the red zone, including two turnovers in the red zone, which are killers. And
sure,
we missed two field goals. So that's not a recipe for success on the road.
355-NFL-1. Let's take our first break. We'll come back and take your calls. Get you looking forward towards the Houston Texans, which show up here in Jacksonville on Sunday for a 1 o'clock kickoff. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. Sounds of the season here on the Jack Del Rio Show. Happy December. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. All of that as we go through the next couple of weeks. And
sounds like Jim Croce.
Who is it? Joe, turn on your microphone and tell us.
Sounds like, you know,
Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
It sounds like something like...
No, you're right.
Could find time in a bottle or something like that.
No, you're right.
Sounds like a song
like
maybe
that.
Written in San
Doesn't
Francisco
it? Doesn't it start in like that?
Okay. Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Jack Del Rio Show, a little culture.
I need to coach how to just keep singing.
You know, he's got Vic Ketchman singing, by the way. Have you heard that? We'll have to play that for you at the next break.
I've not. Do you have it cue? Can you cue it?
You know, a lot of people hear Vic on these on these airwaves, so just for fun, before we get into it, and because I know that Vic probably is not listening, here's Vic Ketchman, ladies and gentlemen.
Because he's not listening?
Probably not.
He's actually trying to sing here.
Yes.
Very thought of you. Get that mood indigo.
That's enough. That's enough right there. That's all I needed to hear.
That was a couple of Wednesday nights ago. So you don't want to sing too long into a microphone because
no,
Joe captures everything.
Well, I mean, that's fine. But
absolutely,
he was really trying to
sing.
No, he was. And I said trying.
I think he'd had a couple of pain pills that evening and for his back, and he was feeling really good. So, all right, back to football here on the Jack Del Rio Show. Just a quick sidebar, and we do that because it's that time of year. Phone lines are lighting up, 355-NFL-1. I know you've been all over the Houston Texans. They've lost a couple of games in a row. And so coming in here Sunday now, you got two teams fighting for one of those wild card spots. So it sets up to be a big game on Sunday afternoon.
Huge game.
Huge. And... Do you, it was reported that Rasheen ran some yesterday. Do you have
he
any
won't
sense?
Play.
No, I won't play.
No.
Not going to be ready to go.
I'll make the formal announcement tomorrow. I guess I made it just now.
Yeah.
He won't play.
Okay.
Not this week. He's running, but he's not going to be able to go. So,
okay.
Because he's got a significant groin injury, and I don't want to –
Further it.
I want to go ahead and be clear. When I think there's a legitimate chance,
right,
then we'll leave it open. But I heard back from the trainers just a little while ago, and not that he had any problems, but he won't be playing this weekend.
Right. So that presents a stiff challenge because those two receivers, in particular that one, Andre Johnson, those are some tremendous receivers.
Arguably the best receiver in the league.
I think so. I think the thing about him that I like the most is that he's always under control. I mean, I know he didn't catch that ball on Sunday. I don't know whether you saw that pass that Shaw threw. Didn't go all the way to the ground with it. But you're talking about a guy, whether he's got both feet on the ground or is up in the air, has such tremendous body control and can get around corners and linebackers and do whatever he needs to do.
Well, physically extremely gifted, mentally very put together. I mean, you know, I remember going down to the University of Miami and interviewing him and getting to know him and talking to coaches and players around there. I mean, this guy's a stud. I mean,
he's a great kid.
Yeah, he's a good person. He's quiet. He just goes about playing football at a high level. And so I have a lot of respect for the way he goes about his business.
And obviously Matt Schaub is a quarterback that can do a lot of different things. He threw three touchdown passes in the first half in that game in Houston before your defense put the clamps on him in the second half.
Yeah, he lit up Indy early part of that game there too. So now he's a good player. He's having a good year for him.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go up the road to Erie, Pennsylvania for our first call of the evening. Welcome Brandon onto the show. Hello, Brandon. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. How you doing, Coach?
Good. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, I've been a long fan since 95 and coming down for my first home game for the Indy game, and I couldn't be more excited. You know, I go on the Jags message board probably 40 times a day, and I just wanted to say that to all the fans that, you know, it's our responsibility to support this team, and it's not cool that everyone turns their back when they have a bad day. Looking at the stats, David really didn't have that bad of a day. It was just those two fumbles that really killed us. But I just wanted to congratulate you, regardless of the outcome of this season, on what you've done with this team this year. And I just really enjoy watching, so just wanted to say thanks.
Well, thank you, Brandon. I appreciate the call and continued support. It is important, and we do appreciate the support. I can assure you, players and coaches alike are very moved by the fact that we have fans out there like that are steadfast in their support. And it's not the fair weather variety. It's the type that's going to be there through thick and thin. And we certainly appreciate that. Thank
you. Meet them on Sunday against Houston to make it loud.
Yeah,
Matt Schaub and,
I mean, they've
Greg
been
Johnson.
Having it. You know, we're facing it when we go on a road. We definitely want to enjoy it while we're at home.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351 to join us here on the Jack Del Rio Show. We'll go to Ron, who joins us from across the Matthews Bridge here in the Arlington area of Jacksonville. Ron, welcome to the show.
Good day. Well, the NFL used to fear the real deal because we used to slay those giants out there. Just any big team we were slaying. But like right now, we're getting beat up by sometimes midgets. And because we lost this game, I mean, isn't it best that we do not get in the playoffs and be exposed? Because once the league kind of gets a taste of blood, then, you know, you lose your fear. I mean, we used to have fear from all the other teams. They used to dread playing the Jaguars. What it's going to take to put that fear or get that back, that it factor?
I'm not sure how you want to even approach that one, Coach. I'm a little bit lost in where he was going with that.
Well, I think he appreciated the point in time here when we knocked off some teams that maybe people didn't think we could knock off. And, you know, we'll see. The year's not done. And as far as the teams that he's referring to that weren't worthy, I guess, I don't buy that. I think if you follow the NFL, I think you understand that teams are viable. And you've got to take each opponent seriously and understand that this is the best of the best. You're talking about all-stars that are selected from college. Many, many all-stars from college programs don't even make it.
Right.
And so this is the best of the best. You know, players and coaches that go after each other every week, and it's highly competitive, and that's just the way it is. So the media gets carried away and thinks, well, a team lost a couple in a row, so they can't win. And, oh, boy, you shouldn't lose to them because, that's just senseless.
Right. Well, there are no Florida Internationals in the National Football League. You're just not going to have that. Appreciate the phone call, 355 NFL1-355-6351. More to come with head coach Jack Del Rio on the Jack Del Rio Show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. A little Elvis Presley there, hopefully getting you in the mood on your drive home from work or wherever you may be. A little Southern flavor for you. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show, 355-NFL1.
I like this time of year with you spinning the disc back there, Joe.
Spinning the disc, though, went out.
Well, come on, it's just a bigger speech.
Well, I figured the DJ over there would correct you, so sliding the MP3s through for you, folks.
The disc is now called Brian's Phone.
If it rings, don't answer it. 355-NFL1, if you'd like to join us, 355-6351. Jaguars and Texans right here on these very airwaves on Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll start with those of you listening to our flagship station, WOKV, at 10 o'clock for the tailgate show. Pre-game show picks up the rest of the network at noon Eastern time. Then, of course, whistle-to-whistle coverage of the Jaguars and Texans, followed by the Winn-Dixie post-game show and the scoreboard show. We'll go to the phone lines and bring Thomas on the show, listening here in Jacksonville. Hello, Thomas, how are you?
I'm doing fine, other than Sunday. I heard Gerard say a few weeks ago that y'all don't want him to be a tall Jones Drew. But when I see him getting blitzed all the time and there's really not that much protection, why can't we have that extra threat of having a running quarterback?
No, we do. That is one of the threats that that David brings. I think he's a guy that can play with his feet, can play with his mind, can throw the ball. And, I mean, if you look at a critical two-point conversion that we got 2 weeks ago, he actually ran the ball in. So, yeah, we do utilize David's feet as a weapon, and we'll continue to look for that.
All right, thank you.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. Corey is up next. Oh, Corey has dropped off the line. So let's talk a little bit about the Texans and their defense. Obviously, Mario Williams is the name that everyone knows. But Brian Cushing, who's a name that you know very well, a Southern Cal linebacker, watching that Indianapolis game last week, looks like he has really developed into a frontline player for years to come for them.
Yeah, he's done a nice job. He'll probably get some consideration for Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think, you know, Pot Roast ought to get that kind of consideration. I think
just as impactful. Just doesn't have the sack, interception kind of things.
Yeah, right. You don't have the numbers as a lineman, offensive or defensive lineman, but in terms of impact on our defense and on our team, he's been very good. But yes, Cushing's doing a great job for him. If you look at all those linebackers, there were four of them that came out last year from Southern Cal.
Clay Matthews, Ray Maluga. Who's the fourth?
The other one's in Cleveland.
Okay.
I'm drawing a blank. Mauva.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a Samoan. Yeah. And a good football player.
Okay.
And all four are playing very well.
Well, I saw Matthews with a sack on Thanksgiving Day where he ran around the right tackle and then flushed Stafford out to his left. Stafford came back to the right. He ran all the way around the left tackle and came back and caught him. It was a just magnificent play.
Reminiscent of his dad.
Yeah. Chasing quarterbacks and nailing them.
That's right.
Good football player.
Nah, he's doing a good job. So, no, Brian's had a good year for him. He's had definitely been an impact player for them. And, you know, he and D'Amico are definitely two linebackers we've got to account for each and every play.
And then up front, besides Mario Williams, Okoye is a guy that you've got to account for, too. You know, still smaller but powerful. Guy with quickness and speed. What else is up front? Antonio Smith? Some players up there that they've added in the recent.
They've got a good front. Yeah. I mean, they've, you know, they're sound, they're solid. They're not quite as exotic as they were at one time. I think they're trying to settle into some sound principles that they want to play. But you know, they're doing a nice job, and they jumped all over Indy early, and then Peyton does what he does to a lot of people and brought the Colts back.
He's insane this year. We saw him week one. Haven't really paid too much attention except to watch him here and there. he and the guy in New Orleans. Did you see Drew Brees last night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw some of it. I didn't see it all, but
yeah,
I saw
yeah. He's,
I saw enough to see a guy that's red hot.
Yeah. Five touchdown passes against the Patriots says a lot.
Even when the coverage was good on a couple plays.
He was slicing it in there.
I mean, he's just back shoulder here and throwing away from levers there and just really operating. I mean, I think he had a perfect rating last night.
Oh, I didn't even see the final rating. Yeah, one, five touchdown passes? Yeah, it's got to be pretty close.
I think he had a perfect rating, 158, whatever it is.
Point three.
Yeah, point
that's
three.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome display.
Let's grab a quick phone call before we take the break. We'll go to David, who joins us down in St. Augustine. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. Coach, congratulations on a really exciting year so far. I wanted to ask you about Derek Cox. If you could give an overall grade on how he's played, I was wondering if I had heard some mentioning, but I don't know. I'm not, you know, I don't pay enough attention. I'm drinking beer when I'm watching the game. But if he's being, since Rasheen's been out, is he being avoided at all? And moving forward with Rasheen being out, are you going to continue to play left and right, or are you going to man up maybe with him on Andre Johnson or otherwise? You know, like I said, I'm not paying close enough attention to notice all this stuff. I know you guys watch the game probably 5 or 20 times. I don't know how many, but just wanted to get an overall grade on Derek Cox's play. It seems like he's doing pretty good. I mean, you don't see him getting burned at all, so, you know, that's a good thing. So just wanted to get an overall grade on him, and good luck this week. Have a healthy game. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it, and thanks for the call. Derek Cox has really had a very impressive rookie year. You know, you talk about a guy that burst upon the scene out of a small college.
Two takeaways in his first two series.
Yeah, and has done a nice job this year. Very, very steady player, and you know, future's bright for him. He's got good movement. He's got good size. I think he's grading out very well for a young player that's finding his way in the league. And he started all year for us, and you know, we have basically tried to stay right and left with the exception of a couple of games where we thought, you know, getting Rasheen over on the best guy would be beneficial for us. We always will put together the plan we think week to week that we think is best for us to slow down the opposition, and that's going to be a tall order against the Texans.
How about Tyron Brackenridge last week? Second straight start. How'd he do?
He's playing well. You know, he's scrappy. He's ultra competitive. I mean, it's not Rasheen out there.
No.
But he gives us what he has. I mean, he's going to compete his tail off. He's going to work at it, and he's a guy that we know defensively we can count on.
Phone lines are exploding. Let's take this quick break, and we will return with more with head coach Jack Del Rio after this on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. Jaguars fans, you can vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. That means your teacher would win club seats to a Jaguars home game. You can find all the details on First Down Touchdown Teachers when you visit communityfirstfl.org for the details. And let's grab some of these calls and go with Greg, who joins us from the west side. Hello, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Brian. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Hey, Greg. Good.
Hey, I don't know if you remember me. I was the guy on the sideline a few weeks ago.
Sure.
Mr. The Intensity.
Sure, sure.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, sorry about the loss. Sorry about the loss up in over in San Fran. I'm sure we'll get them next time. Question. This week, seems that we've been having a trend where we've been having issues addressing pass coverage and as far as deflecting passes, and we seem to have this ongoing issue where we make quarterbacks look really good. Our pass coverage seems to just be not there. As far as the coverage goes, with Rasheen being out, do y'all address how you do the coverage differently since you know Rasheen's out? And I'll take that answer off the air.
Okay, appreciate the call. And thanks for your continued support. And I know you're there every week in, I believe, the north end zone. But as far as coverage, the guys are working hard at coverage. I think, you know, pass defense is a combination of rush and coverage. And, you know, when we've been good, it's been good. And when we haven't, it hasn't been real good at all. And I think the biggest thing that we've had this year is an inability thus far in the first 11 games to generate enough heat on the quarterback. I think If you're getting more heat on the quarterback, I think balls come up fluttering out of the, you know, in the air, and you're going to get your hands on more balls and more interceptions, turnovers, and all those types of things. I think when the D-line has gotten there, the coverage has not been what we need it to be. So football is a team game, and when they go hand in hand, it can look really good. And I know I've said that before, but that's just the fact. That's what it is. And you know, we're not waiting for Rasheen to get back to play well this week. We've got to fight and scratch and claw and do the best we can with who we have. I think, you know, we're as coaches and as players, we can do everything in our ability and make sure that we're all accountable for each other, that we can have the execution that we'll need on Sundays. And, you know, and until we get that, you'll see some of the spotty coverage and spotty pass defense that we've had. And I think we have the ability to take it up a notch, and we're going to need that. If you look at who we're playing in the next 5 weeks, we're gonna get some very, very strong challenges in the pass, in our pass defense, or for our pass defense. So it's time to get it together to make a run, or we're going to have a hard time.
Shaw, Manning, Brady, for those of you who don't know the schedule by heart, coming up three of the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, and Henny's, you know, Henny's a good player. And
right.
Quinn had a big game. So, I mean, you know, you just – to me, you've got some explosive offenses that we're going to have to face, and then you know, if you do well enough in those games to play in the postseason, you know you're going to see that every week. So, we've got to crank it up a notch. That's what's holding us back right now, because you can't run the ball on us.
Right.
You can't come in and sustain a run against us. We're going to get you to third and long, and we've got to be able to play better pass defense to get off the field.
Appreciate the phone call, Greg. 355-NFL-1. Terry's in Arlington. Hello, Terry. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How y'all doing?
Good. Hey, Terry.
Hey, good. Listen, I'm calling about the other side of the ball. It seems like they're able. Our offensive line, I guess my question is, are they just out scheming us, or are we not making the tackles? I'm seeing we're coming in off the edges and, you know, taking away Dave's ability to have any time to look down the field, or giving the receivers any time to get, you know, any stretch on the ball. So we don't have the opportunity to make those third and longs like we need to. We wind up 2 yards short, 5 yards short, you know, where Dave has to settle for the pass that's there instead of what would get us the first down of. And I guess my question is, are we just missing those? Are we just not keeping contact long enough, or is it the schemes they're throwing at us are kind of putting us on our heels?
Well, no, I would say, first of all, our line did not play well last week. It'll need to play better. I think everybody understands that. Including that group of men. But the bottom line is, if you get in third and long, rarely are you going to be able to just sit back there and hold the ball as long as you would like to. I think, you know, defensively, you know, you got an opportunity to bring some kind of pressure to force the quarterback to throw the ball, at least on rhythm. And what you saw a couple instances of on Sunday were cases where the ball had to come out, and, you know, we'd be third and 18, third and 16, something like that. And now you're completing the ball for 10, 12 yards, and you're saying, gee, why didn't we get the yardage for the first down? It's you're going to end up, if you try and throw it the entire way, and we've completed some this year, but if you try and just force it in there, you're going to turn the ball over. Right. And you're not going to complete a high percentage of, or convert a high percentage of, third and very long.
Just to give you a number on that, you've converted 13 of 42 from 10 yards or greater on third down, which puts you in the top five in the NFL
right.
at 30%.
Right.
I mean, that just lays it out for people how hard it is.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you're going to be in that down and distance, you're not going to convert a lot. And,
right.
and we're in the top five, you just said top
I think you're fifth.
Okay, so if you're in the top five out of 32 teams in the league and you're only converting 30% of the time, then Terry, I think you understand the dilemma.
Yeah.
You know, if you get in longer yardage, you're going to come up short some. That's just the reality of it.
Appreciate the phone call, 355-NFL-1. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more with head coach Jack Del Rio after this quick timeout. You're listening to Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Mannheim Steamroller. Sound of the season for you. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. If you'd like to join us on the program this evening, and when you're out this holiday season looking for department store style, at discount prices. You look no further than Neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville locations for you this Christmas. Stein Mart, once you go, you get it. Brian Sexton back with the head coach. Callers on the line. Let's go right to it. Let's grab Brian, who joins us from Ponte Vedra Beach. Hello, Brian. How are you tonight?
Hey, good evening, Brian. Good evening, Coach.
Good evening.
Hey, I played college ball at UC San Diego, and we always had a backup kicker. No slight on Josh Scobie, but he wasn't having a good day. He wasn't doing good in practice, and then he, you know, extended that to the field. And there were some missed opportunities there. And David had a hard time with fumbles and turnovers and things like that. Is there anything that you see in the future for having a – you know, you got backup quarterbacks, but no backup kicker. He was the only guy that we can go with. And maybe he's just having a slump or something. But it seems to me like those are very serious missed opportunities to keep the team in the game. Can you give me any explanation for that?
Well, I can't explain away what happened. I mean, obviously it was not a good day. You can't have days like that and continue to be the kicker. But he's proven in the time that we've had him to be a strong-legged guy, and I think with a very bright future. And I believe in Josh. I believe he'll bounce back strongly for us and down the stretch here, you know, give us what we need from him.
Give you two game winners this year.
Yeah. I mean, and we've tried a lot. You know, he has right now, he's in a situation where his attempts and his conversions per attempts are not very good. A lot of that is due to we tried some really long kicks with Josh at the end of halves and things.
63 and 58 yards.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not really fair to put on him. Now, last weekend, he just wasn't good enough, and he'll bounce back. In terms of having a backup kicker on the roster, highly unlikely. You know, some teams will have a second kicker, and that's a kickoff specialist, which Josh does very well. You know, the one kickoff we had the other day boomed it through the end zone. So, you know, Josh is a strong-legged guy. He's a strong-willed guy, strong-minded guy. He'll bounce back. He's going to be a good kicker for us for a long time.
Even if you had an extra kicker, you only have 53 men, and you only get 45 of them on game day.
Right.
So if you had a backup kicker, he wouldn't be active.
No. No, you wouldn't have one.
No.
I mean, not in the NFL, not where you have 45 men active rosters.
Now, it was interesting. I was watching him kicking from the same direction he kicked all of his field goals, which was, you know, right to left in front of you, in warm-ups. And he just didn't have it. I mean, even in warm-ups, he was missing. And I've seen him on warm-ups kicking 63, 64-yard field goals on good days. So some days, it just doesn't materialize. I mean, it wasn't the conditions or anything like that. He just didn't have the leg that day.
The conditions were, like, pristine.
Yeah, there was no wind
like
or
a Chamber
anything.
Of Commerce day out there.
But I can remember when he lined up for the 40-yarder saying to Jeff, I don't like this, because he was missing these kicks in pregame. And sure enough, it just bled over through the game. I was surprised because, you know, you're talking about a good kicker.
Right.
You know, who's been good for you all year until that point. So, all right, just throwing in my 2 cents. 355-NFL-1. We need a break. We'll take it now. Another segment with the head coach after this on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
The most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you, be of good cheer. Oh, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Get a little New Orleans in you. Little flavor right there, Harry Connick.
So does Harry Connick.
Absolutely. He's got a lot in there.
Yeah, how about the Saints?
11-0.
Well, you know that city's rocking.
Right, well, can you imagine? In 81. Was it 81? It was 80. They were the first team to go 0-15 to start a season. Of course, the 16-game season was only a few years old, so it's probably a bit of a misnomer. But remember that Aints, that 1-15 bunch?
I remember being there in 1985. We won a road trip, and when we returned, we were like 3-10. When we returned to the airport, there were 10,000 people lined up greeting us at 2 in the morning.
There's no doubt there's a passion in that city.
Yeah, I mean, there are.
There's no doubt.
Can you imagine what they're doing right now?
Well, they closed City Hall early yesterday. They closed City Hall.
They might have had to close a lot of offices today after last night's celebration.
You can imagine it spilled over.
Good for them.
Into the French Quarter. 355-NFL-1. Let's grab Ford, who's up the road in Brunswick, Georgia. Hello, Ford.
Hey, Coach Brian. Great show, man.
Thank you.
Hey, last week, 2 weekends ago, went to the Bills game. Exciting victory. The crowd wasn't quite as excited as the game was. But question, when you draft players, do you guys does ever come into the thought of drafting, like, SEC players particularly just to bring in ticket sales or kind of boost the excitement of the team? And I'll take your answer off the air and just listen on the radio. Thanks.
Okay, Ford. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Are you kidding? Is he kidding?
No, I don't think he's kidding. It sounded
Derek
pretty serious.
Harvey, Reggie Nelson, Marcus Stroud, Fred Taylor. They've drafted lots of SEC players.
Well, yeah,
years.
But that's not why.
No. You didn't draft those.
I think, first of all, I think it'd be foolish for an NFL team to draft that way, because really what people want to see is the team win. And what you have to do, and I know what Gene's committed to doing here in Jacksonville, is going through the draft process, placing a grade on the players, and taking the best available player. And I think Gene is going to be a guy that going forward will really adhere to that, and that'll be good for all of us. I think this is one of the better drafts that I can remember being around.
It's the Jaguars' best draft ever.
I mean, I don't know. It's been good for me. I mean, as a coach working with these young men, and we can continue to add these type of players that are talented players, that are proud of representing Jacksonville, that are happy to be a part of this Jaguars football team and be a part of the NFL, and they're good players.
Yeah.
If you can bring in these type of people that are good players, we can go places.
I just say, are you kidding me? Because John Henderson, Tennessee, James Stewart, 95, Tennessee, Matt Jones, Arkansas. I mean, the names just roll off your tongue of SEC players, and it has no bearing. It's about winning in the National Football League, plain and simple.
Right.
And so go grab those guys where you can.
Well, that's what I know Gene will do. So that's
hands down, by the way, hands down, best draft, most productive draft in franchise history. Hands down.
I love it.
All right. Jack, thanks so much for your time tonight. Appreciate it, Coach.
My pleasure.
All right. I know you've got a lot to get going.
Looking forward to these Houston Texans coming
Absolutely.
In.
We'll wrap up the show right after this. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio. All right, back to wrap up the Jack Del Rio Show with you here on the first Tuesday night of December, the first day of December. Happy holidays to you all. Jaguars 6-5 have the Texans on Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff here at the stadium. Folks, it would be great to see some of you out there. Jaguars with an opportunity. 3 home games in 3 weeks. Actually, less than 3 weeks, because they play Sunday, Thursday when they get the Indianapolis Colts on the 17th, but haven't had a 3-game homestand like this since December 2006, and haven't had many of them in their history. I think this is only the 4th 3-game homestand, so that's pretty important. And with the chance now to grab a couple of wins, they're in the 6th spot in the AFC. So we're talking just keep winning, and you hold on to that spot. You won't relinquish it. Right now they've got the tiebreaker because they've got the best conference record. And you've got 3 games in a row, 4 games, 5 games now, all in the conference. We'll see what they can get done. 1 o'clock kickoff Sunday. We'll start things in Jacksonville, 10 a.m. with the tailgate show. Pick up the rest of the network at noon. Of course, the Winn-Dixie postgame show to follow. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.